It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 354. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me voicemail message. Phone number is 240-949-2450. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And you can send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a huge show planned for tonight, and it's based on a very large stack of email from responses to the three problems I talked about in the last show with my client. The problem with IE8, problem with XP peer-to-peer networking, and problem with XP Windows updates. Boy, did you come through with a wealth of solutions. Two of the three are solved, but the third one, the IE8 problem's not solved, and I'll explain where I'm at with that. The suggestions that you've sent are so good with fixes, articles, links, things to try, that I want to review them all with you because they're going to stimulate ideas for solutions to problems that you run into. This is going to be your cookbook for problem solving for tonight's show. I have some announcements. I'm going to be co-hosting Computer America Friday, May 6th at 10 p.m. with Carrie Holzman. On Monday, May 9th, I will be the guest on the 100th Lou Trek Show podcast. So Lou's 100th show, I'm going to be the guest, and I'm honored. I can't wait. That's going to be May 9th at loutrekshow.com, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm looking forward to that. June 4th, of course, we have the meetup, the Mike Tech Show meetup at noon in Pittsburgh, venue to be determined very, very soon, and hope you can join us. If you are planning on attending the meetup in Pittsburgh, please send me an email because I want to get as close to a count as possible that we can have an idea. So for just planning and the logistics, it's going to help. I usually don't do this, but I need to use my podcast for the following, to try to recruit someone. I need a desktop technician, someone that's very good at desktop work, you know, XP, Windows 7, that's in the Philadelphia area that speaks Spanish fluently. So the requirement is you have to speak English and Spanish fluently. And I need you to, if you are interested in work, to contact me as soon as possible, send me an email, miketechshow@gmail.com, and send me your phone number, a good time to contact you, and we will talk. I have a large opportunity, and I have to have someone that speaks Spanish. Before we get started, online meetings are a great tool for businesses to work smarter. That's why I highly recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. It's the easiest, most reliable online meeting service that's available today. You can join meetings in seconds without any of the headaches and the problems. It's so easy to set up, schedule a secure meeting with just one click, and you can hold as many meetings as you want for just one monthly low flat rate, plus a support voice over IP, toll-free audio conferencing is included, and GoToMeeting makes your meetings the most cost-effective and time-efficient, which is better for your business. What you need to do to try it free for 30 days is go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free, enter the promo code podcast, and you get 30 days free of this incredible online meeting service. The three problems from last week. Let's begin with the solutions that I ran into for two of the problems. For the networking, I am embarrassed to admit that the two systems for networking, the problem was the file and print sharing was not checked on one of the systems. I need to thank Kate, who spent some time with me after the show last week on these problems, where we connected via Skype and she took the time and we started going over everything. And I couldn't believe that I missed checking off that box. I inherited this problem where it was working in the past. I don't know how it got unchecked. I don't know if the user accidentally did it or was there an application or something that caused that. I don't know. But once I checked that, everything fell into place and started sharing. The next one was a bit more complicated. The Windows update problem was due to a .NET framework upgrade that was trying to happen. We really had to dig and dig and dig. And I'm going to have a link to a Microsoft support knowledge base article that's titled, "When you try to install an update for the .NET framework 1, 1.1, 2.0, 3.0, or 3.5, you may receive Windows Update Error Code 0x643 or Windows Installer Error Code 1603. Well, it was the installer error code 1603 that led me to this article. In this knowledge base article, it references another article, which is how to fix MSI software update registration corruption issues. There's a Microsoft fix it button. I clicked that remotely while I was remoted into the system that had this problem. Then I was able to continue with the rest of my Windows updates, and they work. That was a great fix for the Windows update problem with the .NET framework error, and it was an installer error. So now we come to the IE8 problem. I've tried a lot more things, but my client he doesn't want me to come out and work on it, and yet he's irritated that it's not solved, and I have a lot more things for him to try. And I've asked for me to be able to come out, and I know he doesn't want to throw any more money at it, but I'm telling him, look, I'll do this for nothing just to get it fixed, because he's a long-time friend and client. I want to help him out. Hopefully he'll hear this, and he'll be able to say, okay, Mike, look, come on out. There's a few things that I don't want him to go through the problem of downloading and trying the trial and error, because I could bang out 10 or 12 different things in a matter of minutes than trying to communicate each and every one of them over the telephone. So it's very hard to do this. And to do it where I'm remoted into the system, it requires too many reboots where I'd have to reconnect. I want to be in front of the machine. So that's what we're going to lead off tonight with, all of your responses. And we're going to start with the IE8 issue and the recommendations. And this is where buttons are not working on websites when browsing within IE8. And this is from Donnie. And he says, I think that I had this problem before, and I remember the root of the problem being semantic endpoint. Use add, remove, and then the Norton removal tool. P.S. Love your show. I want to do that as a last resort. I don't want to go through uninstalling Norton. They have the endpoint security suite. That's boy, I don't want that to be the answer, because that's what they have for their antivirus. So maybe we have to uninstall it, fix the problem, maybe reinstall it, but Norton has to stay on. I don't mind disabling it temporarily while we're working on a solution, but I really don't want to have to uninstall it because I don't have any other options for an antivirus for the office. Yes, I know there are other options, but they've invested good money into the endpoint protection suite, and it is working on other systems with IE8. Here's another suggestion, and this is from Sean. I wanted to suggest you trying uninstalling IE8 and try installing IE7 instead. It may solve your problem. Now, I got to admit, I have not done that. Next response is from Joe, and he says, you probably tried this, but did you try to reset IE8 tools, internet options, advanced, then reset? Yes, we did. And although it did not fix the problem for this particular client, going through the tools, internet options, and advance and reset has fixed several problems with clients. So that's always good to go back and reset. I normally have to do that when there's been an infection on a computer. You sometimes have to go back and reset, make sure you've cleaned out all of the history, all of the temporary internet files. It's always good to do a reset. And that's usually the first thing I go to when someone has a problem in IE. That is a good recommendation. And yes, we did try that. Hooray. For the customer reporting problems with IE8, there is a utility, the Complete Internet Repair, which has worked beautifully for me in the past. So I'm going to have a link, and this came up actually in the post show last week, which is the Complete Internet Repair tool, and I will have a link to that utilities. This is from Marcel. Marcel recommends lowering the security on IE, and I have done that. As a matter of fact, I got that. A very common response was to do that. It didn't fix the problem. Here's another one. This may be the fix for the unclickable buttons. His security settings may be prohibiting the execution of JavaScript VB script actions. Go to Internet Properties, click Security tab, and move the slider for the Internet Zone to medium. Try this and then the sites again. I thought I tried this, but I'll tell you, I may go back, and if I'm in front of the machine, this is something that I may do again just to make sure that we actually tried that. This is another good link to a program to help fix your client's IE8 problem. That's the Repair Internet Explorer with Fix IE utility. And this is from thewindowsclub.com. And this is from Peter. Thank you. Ian sent in a whole list of things to try. Here's the list. Try using a different user account on the PC and see if the problem is the PC or user related. Great tip. And that is on my list for things to try. You try another profile. Sometimes that helps. Try changing the video drive back to VGA to rule out a driver issue. Try launching IE with the no add-on switch. That's IEExplorer.exe, and then you have a dash EXT off. You have that expression EXT off when executing IE. I have not done that. We have went in and disabled all of the add-ins, but just to make sure, that's a great way to start IE. He says, try resetting all the IE settings. That recommendation that I mentioned a couple minutes ago about the reset of the settings, if that's confusing, here is a link to an IE blog that goes over performing that operation of the reset in great detail. So another great link that's going to be in the show notes. These show notes for this show are a keeper. because of the links to all these great utilities. They're going to be there in one place. This is from Preston. He has removing earlier versions of JavaScript and reinstalling the newest version. That absolutely did not work, and it was one of the first things we tried. Then he says, what about installing IE9? IE9, unfortunately, is only available for Windows 7. So this is an XP system, so I couldn't try that. This is from Mark. I just wanted to offer a few easily performed actions that may help in your problems with your client's XP workstations. Now, for the Windows update failing, I have used a tool known as Dial-A-Fix in repairing Windows Update service on XP with Service Pack 3. It also offers other repair functionality that might be helpful. Windows 7's not supported. Dial-A-Fix, yes, is an older utility that's out there that works with XP, and I haven't used it in a long time. So that's an excellent idea. For the IE8 issue, within IE8, visit Tools, Internet Options, General tab, Browser History Settings button, and then empty the temp files cache, the compare temp files cache size to another functional IE8 installation. Verify that nothing is peculiar about permissions for location of temp files cache. Ensure the check for newer versions of stored pages is not selected to be never. Now, these are things I haven't tried. Check for malware and rootkits using combo fix. This is where I had a problem communicating to my client. He had the difficulty downloading, installing, and running combo fix. That's why I need to be able to get in there and do it myself. I have had great success in eradication using combo fix. I'm the IT resource for a small company in Norristown, PA, and I have in place on our 50-plus XP workstation semantic endpoint protection, but malware is still a problem. I have found that CombofiX is becoming a tool to turn to often when semantic doesn't identify or fails to quarantine or delete malware. I believe CombofiX works well and generally completes in less than 15 minutes. While we're talking about CombofiX, I will have the link in the show notes. I also placed it in last week's show notes. CombofiX has saved my butt on two occasions, or my clients. This week, there have been two separate infections with two different clients. One of the infections was a law firm that I had a visit on Friday morning last week, where the infection was the MS removal tool. It says it's the MS removal tool, and you have all these infections, and it itself is an infection. Combo fix was not the first thing I tried. I actually went to Bleeping Computer and discovered the article that goes through explaining everything to do for a whole process to use Malwarebytes. I followed that process using rkill and the Malwarebytes, and it did not clean it. I ran CombofiX in safe mode. It cleaned it perfectly. So I also had a client download CombofiX, burn it on a CD on a good working station, took it over to the workstation that also had an infection. CombofiX again cleaned it in minutes. I completely agree with Mark here that it is the number one tool to use for an infection. Run CombofiX first. Be careful of sites that are duping you that it's not the real site for the program CombofiX. Make sure you are downloading it from bleepingcomputer.com. This is another Mark, and he says, I didn't hear you say that you tried going back to a known good restore point. Well, I don't believe we can narrow down exactly when it started happening for my client, a specific date. And it's been so long now that I didn't want to risk going back to a restore point that could cause other problems. But if you notice something quickly when you are diagnosing a problem, definitely look when is the last restore point. And certainly before you go through installing anything or having a client or anybody install something, whether it's a new device, a new driver, a new piece of software, create a restore point so you can easily go back in case things go wrong with that new install. This is from Jim with some suggestions. My first thought was that group policy might be a way to fix the issue. I don't have a lot of experience with group policy, but have been using it more lately. What I have found is that I've imported a value into the registry. The change will not show up in group policy, but I can enable the policy involved with that key and change the value in that way. So if you can find the policy or policies that would affect that behavior, even if they are not enabled, you could enable them and set them to the value that you want, and that might fix it. Possible. While pursuing group policy, I found a setting for compatibility settings and remembered that your client is using IE8. At one point, our company website was coded for IE7. So we had to view the site in compatibility mode in IE8. Did this problem start when your client upgraded to IE8? It just happened all of a sudden when he already had IE8. And here's what makes it really interesting. There's other computers in the same office that you can go to with IE8 and you can get to these sites. Are the other computers in the office on IE8? Yes, they are. And if so, are they viewing these sites in compatibility mode? And they're not. I also did not hear this in the podcast, but did you go into internet properties in the control panel and look at the settings? Also, there is a reset button, which we've discussed, and that didn't help. You mentioned that your client was not willing to do a reinstall because of all the applications that would have to be reinstalled. I wonder if this concern is more that he might lose his custom settings. If that were the case, maybe you could use the User Safe Migration Tool or the File and Settings Transfer Wizard. These are two great recommendations. To move his custom settings to the new install. Of course, if there were corrupt custom settings, you might import them into the new install, which led me to my final thoughts. Did you create another user profile and see if the issues were in that profile? So getting back to one of those earlier emails, no, I haven't, and that is high on the list to try. Hope this helps, and thanks for all you do for the community. Jim, great email. Thank you very much. This next email, I asked permission from Joe for the files that he has shared with me that I will share with you. Included in this is a detailed description, screenshot for screenshot, of getting two systems or multiple systems in an XP peer-to-peer environment to work. So troubleshooting XP networking, this is the ultimate document, and I converted it to a PDF, and I will have it available for download. Give a listen to this. Hi, Mike. On the IE8 issue, make sure that the Windows clock is set correctly. It is. What you are experiencing can affect certificate expired problems and the one you have. I had the same issue you are having on your client's computer on one of my customers about 6 months ago. And if that issue is also, will also prevent Windows Update from running, read the next one. As far as the Windows Update, run the attachment I send you, only change the TXT to BAT or CMD. That will repair Windows Update issues. So he has a CMD file that will reset and re-register a lot of DLLs and a lot of files to fix the Windows Update issue. Now, if that does not work, you can call Microsoft free of charge for updating issues, and they will even remote into your computer. Yes, you heard correct, for free. Use this number if you have to contact them, and that's 866-727-2338 for free patch support. I have used them a few times, and I am busy working on other computers. The batch file was actually provided to me by one of Microsoft's technicians. I asked him for it after he fixed my update issue with it. The batch file that I'm going to have for you to download was provided by a Microsoft technician. Now for the Windows XP sharing issues, I will send two attachments for that. One, an instruction step-by-step, and another for the fix that you have to run at the end of the checklist. The checklist looks long, but it is a graphic and only takes 5 to 10 minutes to run through on each computer. Don't skip a step. Don't take anything for granted while going through it page by page. This has saved my bacon many times. I have been called in as a last resort, and it has fixed the work group issues. If that does not work, there is one more thing to try. And don't use it unless the checklist doesn't work. Here it is. Go to Control Panel, Add Remove Programs. On the left side, Add Remove Windows Components Networking Services. Now put a check in each of the two subcomponent networking services, Peer-to-Peer and Universal Plug-and-Play User Interface, UPnP. I hope I can be 2 for 3 on this, at least for you. Hope I can pay you back a little bit for all the good advice and entertainment you have provided us. If you could please give me some feedback, which I have with Joe, I want to thank him so much for taking the time and putting those utilities together. And it was this email that made me decide on tonight's topic and make sure that I'm going through all of the great detail for all these great troubleshooting tips and techniques and utilities so they can be available to you so you can fix and go forth and repair the problems that I've been able to repair. This is another great suggestion, and this is by Jeff. To test your TCP/IP stack, ping 127.0.0.1. A reply means it is good. Now, 127.0.0.1 is your own adapter. You are pinging your own network card. You're pinging yourself. That's actually the home IP address. It reminds me of a shirt on ThinkGeek. There's no place like 127.0.0.1. Is your file and print sharing turned on? Well, clearly it wasn't when I started, when I began the podcast and told you that that was the problem for the network sharing. I can't believe that I missed one of the most basic checkboxes that wasn't checked. And once Kate was with me while I was remoted in, Kate and I was connected via Skype, and she's going over that. It was just great once I found it. I was just so happy. Is your computer browsing function started and on? That is a tremendous tip. Make sure that service is on and running. And then here's another one. Is simple folder sharing turned on both PCs? And that's where you can go into the view folder properties. You can go into the settings and make sure that that box is checked. So you can keep it very, very simple for the file sharing. So Jeff, some great simple suggestions here. This is another one from Jorge. You mentioned a customer having a problem with a corrupt.NET framework. I love this link, and I wish I had this link last week. This is a cleanup tool for exactly that problem for a corrupted.NET framework. You are going to love the blog that I am linking here. There's a lot of other great information on this site. Great tip that you're going to like that link. If you use Amazon for any purchases, you know anyone who is purchasing from Amazon, and we all know someone that's purchasing from Amazon, send them to my link, to the Amazon link on the left-hand side under affiliates, or right in the show notes, click on this link to contribute to the Mike Tech Show. When you buy using that link, anything you purchase on Amazon, no matter how obscure it is, it doesn't have to be technology related, I will get a commission which will help support the Mike Tech Show. And I really appreciate all of your work in using that link and telling everybody and sharing that link. I really appreciate it so very much. I have some music for tonight as we wrap up. And I heard Linkin Park mention that Iridescent, the song that I'm going to play, which is a live cut from the concert that I attended on January 31st in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center, that this song was selected by Michael Bay for the soundtrack of the new Transformers movie. And Michael Bay likes Linkin Park. Give a listen to the live version of this, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Cold and lost in desperation, you build up hope and failure's all you know.
That, of course, is Linkin Park, and that was Iridescent. And I will have a link where you can buy their latest CD from Amazon.com, and you can get that song. That was the live version at a concert that I attended in January in Philadelphia. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show, contributing. You sent just such a large volume of email responding to my request last week for help, and I so appreciate that. And I have still a large stack of email that I'm going to get to. Maybe we'll try to squeeze in another Mike Tech show before next Thursday night. So let's see how time permits. That's it. Thank you very much. Join me same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.